Are you rejoicing?
Amen.
Amen.
Must have been a hard week, huh? Praise God. John chapter 4. I didn't intentionally think about it to come here with that, but it was God's speaking to me this morning. 4 is the number of tribulation. I guess that's just exactly what you wanted to hear, right? About tribulation. Praise the Lord. But you've heard it probably many times, but we're going to go through it one more time as the Lord leads. Jesus had gone with his disciples. He was making a trip, I think, to Jerusalem. And he made a detour, really, because the way he went wasn't a direct route. And he made a detour through Samaria. And he stopped in a village there, and they stopped at a well. And as you may know, the rest of the story, a woman came to draw water, and Jesus was asking her to give him a drink. And I was listening to a message that was being ministered here a while back. And in the midst of it, the person who was ministering began to talk. He was talking about the aspect of our position of new birth, our position of being born again. And you know, it's something that the Lord has really been laying on my heart for months now. And I'm coming to find out or understand, I really did not understand or know what it meant to be born again. And I have read that scripture many times in John chapter 3, where Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, and he was asking him about these things that he was doing, and from where and whence cometh his strength, his source of power. And as Jesus began to minister to the man, and he began to talk to him about being born again. Hallelujah. And the man was confounded. He was shocked. And he was looking at it on a level, in a way that was natural. And you know, I don't know. I have to repent, quite frankly, because I've often read that and said, "How could that man be so stupid?" Huh? Hallelujah. But you know what? I think that man is a representation or representative of 99.999999% of the Christian people. Hallelujah. I have been studying and reading and meditating on these two passages in John for months now. Hallelujah. I almost feel bad because every time I get up, I start talking about it again. But it's the fact of what I is that the Lord is speaking to me is pertinent to my position of inheritance. It is pertinent to my position of life and liberty. It is pertinent to the fact of what it is I want to obtain in God. And you know, that man, Nicodemus, he was not just a man in the natural, nor was he just a Pharisee in the natural. But he said, Jesus said to him, "How is it that you, master?" Now, I suggest you get a concordance out and you go look up that word in the Greek, master. That means one who has a knowledge that is far beyond anyone else. That means that a man, not only does he have a knowledge of it, but he has some sort of awareness of the intent of it and what it is or how it is supposed to work. At least that is what the connotation master means. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I have been very critical of Brother Nicodemus in my thinking, in my thoughts. And I'll have to repent to him one day when I see him. Hallelujah. Because I believe the man found God. I really do.
Yes.
I believe he found God. So I can call him Brother Nicodemus. He's no longer a Pharisee, by the way. Hallelujah. But Nicodemus is to me, and so much of the scripture to me, relates to the Holy Place Church. Because we, as a Holy Place Church, have more knowledge than any other segment of the church. We have more revelation than any other segment of the church. Hallelujah. And we don't only have the start revelation. We don't only have the in-between revelation, but we have the end revelation of God and man working together to come and to fulfill the criteria that God laid down in Genesis 1:26. When he said, I want to make man. Now it wasn't an I, it was a we, or it was an us. Let us make man, how? How was he going to make him? How? He was going to make him not only in his image, but also in his likeness. Go into the Hebrew and look up the word likeness. See what it means. The Hebrew word. The Hebrew words mean to be exactly like him. Hallelujah. In some aspects, humanity under the jurisdiction of the devil is trying to duplicate that process in the natural arena by the instrumentation of what they call cloning. Cloning is a counterfeit operation to make something that is, to make something like it, just exact, not like it, but just exactly what it is. You cannot tell the difference in the chemical makeup of that thing that is cloned. They have the same DNA, they have the same genes, they have all of the rudiments of what it is that makes it what it is. Hello. Hallelujah. And we as a people, well, maybe I should just say, I as a person in the business of God has somehow missed the clarity or the simplicity of what it was that God in the beginning wanted to do as far as an objective is concerned for me in my present time, in my present day. Hello? Hallelujah. And you know, brethren, it isn't that we are so special and so elite that we have a particular revelation beyond other people. Because there have been other people in past dispensation who have had the same revelation. Yes. Hallelujah. And their revelation worked within them a foundation of righteousness that would not allow them to compromise. Hallelujah. Some of the most flagrant and some of the most flagrant examples of it, if I could use that word, is men like Enoch, right? Men like Noah, men like Abraham, men like Joshua, men like Gideon, and you can go on and go on and go on. Now I'm using Old Testament examples because they were a people who had not yet had, to our understanding, the greater revelation. But I beg to differ with you. I think they had it. Hallelujah. And it not only was Old Testament people, but then you go into the New Testament and you begin to examine the church in Acts. We do not measure up to the church in Acts. Oh God. We do not measure up in behavior. We do not measure up in the aspect of our dedication, our consecration, our sanctification. Hello? You know, I don't know how many years, maybe some of you can remember back there. There was a word that God brought to us, and I think Brother Duseal was the first one to begin to put it out on the table, and he said that the Holy Place Church was moonlighting. Anybody remember that? He said they were moonlighting. Unfortunately, we did not hear. Unfortunately, we did not comprehend. Unfortunately, we did not take it serious enough. Hallelujah. And now we have come down, as it were, to the end of the day. But let me go back. We are not the only ones who have had this particular message. The only thing that is peculiar about you and I is we are the only ones living in the dispensation of the fullness of that revelation. I don't know how any of you can look at world news. Well, let's not make it world news. Let's make it U.S. news. And not despair. Not feel frustrated. Not feel saddened. Not feel angry. Not feel depressed. Not feel something. Yes. Hello? Yes. Hallelujah. And the demise of it and the demolition of it. Do you hear me? Hallelujah. So we are living in a time frame when that word that we have heard should now be coming to a place of being activated. But our activation is stalled. Huh? It's like you have a car and you park it in the driveway and the temperature outside is, 60 degrees. You park that car as you've always parked it. You go in your house, and during the night, that temperature plummets. Huh? Goes real down. And you go out in the morning to start that car. And you hear, click, 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 click. Any of you ever had that experience? Huh? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you're in a hurry, by the way. And you have something pressing on you, by the way. Hallelujah. And all of those things are pushing, pushing, pushing. Huh? Praise God. Amen. And that is something that is pertinent to the end time church where they are. Hallelujah. The church. Now, when I say end time church, I'm not talking about a particular segment of people. I'm talking about a particular people who have heard a particular word that highlights and spotlights the desire of God to tabernacle with man.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And there have been many who have had this word. Now, we'll go back to that thought. We find that in Hebrews chapter 11, I believe it is, when it talks about the heroes of faith, praise the Lord, and all of the things that those people went through and the suffering that came because of it, and it says of them, they having what? Received a good report. I wonder if I was called tomorrow to stand before the Lord, would I have a good report? Huh? Because you see, I am not going to stand in front of God by myself. There are going to be a throng of overcomers standing around him. Hello? Am I going to measure up to those overcomers? And let me tell you something. My situation, though it's in a different locality, different dispensation, different time frame, my situation is no different than whatever situation they had to go through. It wasn't any tougher, rougher, or less commodious to overcoming. Do you hear me? Hello? It wasn't any different than mine. Different set of circumstances, different people maybe, different place, different civilization, whatever the case may be. But the circumstances that was pressing their soul was no different than what is now pressing my soul. Hallelujah. And it says that of them they found a good report, not receiving the promise. Why? Why did they receive the promise? Because there is a time frame that God is working by. There is a time frame that God is working by. Do you hear me? And we are now coming into the final stages. And I wouldn't say the beginning of the final stages. I would say it's the end of that final stages of development. And we are coming to a point when we need to understand the jeopardy. I need to understand the jeopardy of my life. Do you hear me? That in regards to my calling, my election, the desire that I say, I want to be a son of God. But if I'm not doing what I need to do to be a son of God, then I do not really want to be a son of God. I want to be something else. Hello, are you there?
Yes.
Hallelujah. And the message of sonship, hallelujah, there is a position or a place that God that I have to come to in order to be an acceptable factor concerning that position. Hallelujah. Brethren, and you know, when we come down here to John chapter 4 and the woman at the well, and all of the things that were going on, that is not an example of a natural situation of a natural woman in a position or a place of trouble and tribulation and sin and degradation. That is a church. That is a picture of a church. It's a picture of a church. A church that is in trouble. But in her trouble, God came to her with a word. Came to her with a word. Hello. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that word was designed to bring life and liberty into her situation. You know, brethren, I look at some of the circumstances that I'm involved in, and I'm wondering how in the name of heaven, how in the name of God can I get out of them? How can I get out of them? They're beyond my capability, humanly beyond my capability, beyond my mental capacity, beyond my emotional fortitude, beyond my position of my desire. But I have to, but if I want to get out of them, regardless of whether I can believe it or not, I have to respond to God in a favorable manner in order for Him to do for me what needs to be done. Hello? Hallelujah. I have to respond. I have to respond. Hallelujah. Not you. I have to respond. I'm the one who is desiring to be a son. I am the one who is desiring to be righteous. I am the one who is desiring to be like God. And now there's a move in the Holy Praise Church. There's a move in the Holy Praise Church to take that opportunity away from me. Huh? There's a move in the church. Hallelujah. To take that opportunity. Oh, you can be a part of God. You can be a part of Christ. But you cannot be in Christ and Christ in you, where there is no difference between you and Christ. Jesus. Hello? Did you hear what I said? Hallelujah. Now, you would say or think in your mind that I am usurping the position of Christ. But I'm not usurping the position of Christ. I'm taking what is available, what God is giving to His church, to His people, if the church or His people is willing to pay the price for it. Huh? Hallelujah. It's serious business, and it's we are living in a serious time. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Because you know, in John chapter 17, when God was praying for His disciples, He was not only praying for His disciples, but He was also praying for you and I. Because you know what? He is Alpha, He is Omega. That means in the beginning, He is also at the end. And at the end, He saw you and I. He saw all of the things and the mechanic of what it was that we were and where we were and what it was we were hearing. Hello? Are you there? Hallelujah. Alpha and Omega. It's Alpha of what? What is the Alpha of? Beginning of what? The beginning of God's desire. Is there anything else? And you know, the world around us was created for a purpose. And that purpose is not preeminent. That purpose is not necessarily everlasting. It is to facilitate an eternal purpose. It is to facilitate an everlasting thought. It has within His mind a destiny that is outside of the realm of time. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. That is Alpha. That's when you say Alpha. What are you thinking? What are you thinking? Alpha. Beginning. You're talking about an eternal God who has no beginning and yet He has a beginning. Huh? He's Alpha. Alpha of what? Alpha of the Word that brings the reality of being made conformable to Him. Hallelujah. What is Omega? Huh? They sing a song in Africa. You are the Alpha and Omega. Huh? The beginning and the end. The end of what? What is the end of? Huh? Hallelujah. He's the end of the job. He's the end of the position or the place of what He intended to do in the beginning. Everything else is irrelevant. Hallelujah. Do you hear me? It's irrelevant. And being as the devil knows the revelation of God better than you and I. He does. That's why he's working so hard. And he's using the mechanics or the rules that govern it to try to fill the position, to make himself, as it were, a tabernacle in which he might rule the world. But the devil is such a fool because everything he rules, he destroys. You want to know where the spirit of suicide comes from? Hallelujah. It is a hell doctrine. It is the nature of Satan. Satan is self-destructive. Hallelujah. He thought in some manner or some way he could usurp God and move using the laws of God, hallelujah, to facilitate his position so that he might come into a place of preeminence. But the devil destroys everything. Hallelujah. 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 That's why we have to deal with the spirit of suicide. That's why we have to deal with the spirit of condemnation. That's why we have to deal with the spirit of poor me. All of these things are self-destructive.
Yes, amen.
They are self-destructive. Self-destructive, and they are of a different nature. They are of a different source of. They are different source of energy.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we fall prey to it again and again and again and again and again and again. Hallelujah. Why? Because we're not working with God in the basis of what it was that God did for us in the very beginning. There is a parable. Hallelujah. And it's the parable of the pearl of great price. But that pearl was where? Was what? Buried in the field. So, brethren, there is a... I think he interpreted it, didn't he? Didn't he interpret it, or did we interpret it? Hallelujah. Well, the interpretation of it, regardless of where it came from, the interpretation was that the field is you and I. Huh? The field is you and I. You and I as we are in Adam. Hello? Is that right? Anybody ever, can you say amen to that? I don't hear anything. Praise the Lord. Thank goodness. You guys are looking at me strange. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So if I am the field, what is the pearl? Huh? What is the pearl? Are you afraid of it? Huh? It's the word of God, which is the kingdom of God. But I like it. He says, in the beginning was the word. Huh? It says, in the beginning was the word. In the beginning, in the Alpha, was the Logos. Huh? Hallelujah. And it says, and the Logos was with God. And the Logos what? Was God. Hallelujah. And then he turns around in John 17 and he says, I have, Father, I have given them thy word. What word did he give him? What word did he give humanity? What word? What word did you receive? You received the word of the Alpha and its position, its place of intention in the Omega. Hello? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are selling off our inheritance. So if I am the field and the pearl is the word I have received and it is buried in me, but I have to purchase the field. How am I going to purchase it? Huh? Tell me, how am I going to purchase it? What do I have to do? What? What is that? Don't say it too loud. You might wake somebody up.
Sell all.
A-L-L. Huh? All. All of what? Huh? Let's define it. All of what? All of me. Anything and everything that's me. I have to sell it. Or if I can't sell it, I got to give it away. Hello? That means my mind. Everything about me. Anything that makes me Asbel. Everything that makes me the personality of who and what I am. Hello? Everything that makes me in the great country in which I, in this great country which I used to live in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I have to sell it off. I have to sell it off. My sense of security, my sense of assurance, my sense of liking things in a certain way, in a certain order, knowing that it's going to be there tomorrow. I have to sell it off. Hello? Oh, maybe you don't. Hallelujah. But maybe you don't see it that way. That's fine. But I'm telling you how and what it is I have to do in order to be a son. If I want to buy the field. Hello? And you know, God went to great lengths, to a great extent to demonstrate that Jesus Christ, the man. Hello? Went to great lengths to demonstrate it. They came to him one day, says, your mom is out there with all of your brothers. What was he supposed to do? Drop everything? Go running out there and say, oh, here I am. He was the oldest, you know. Now, in that society, he had a position of responsibility. His father had passed, and now he was the patriarch of that family. Do you hear it? Hallelujah. And he should have just dropped everything out and just ran out there, right? No. He had other business to do. He was somewhere else. While he was right there, he was somewhere else. Did you hear me? He was somewhere else. Hallelujah. He was somewhere else. He says, these are my brothers. These are my sisters. These are my mothers. These are my family. Hallelujah. That doesn't mean that he was shirking his responsibilities. Come on, brethren. He was very diligent with his mother. He was taking care of her the whole time. Do you know that? And he did not release that care or that concern or that position of responsibility till he was on the cross. And he looked at John and he says, behold thy mother. And he said to her, behold thy son. Hallelujah. So there was a responsibility that he was living, but he was fulfilling that responsibility and the selling off of his field. Selling off of the accoutrements of everything that he desired. Hallelujah. He says, I have given them thy word. Hallelujah. And make no mistake about it, that word was the same word that was given to the saints that have gone on before us. It's the same word that was given to those in Revelation 11. When he said to them, they had a good report. You know, I want to finish my course, but and finish my race. I want to find the top of that mountain. But regardless of any of that, wherever it is that God chooses to meet me, hallelujah, I want a good report.
Yes, amen.
I want a good report.
Hallelujah.
I want a good report. I don't want to say, well, you did this, but you could have done it better. Yes. You could have, should have, would have, but you didn't. I don't want that kind of report. Huh? I don't want that kind of report. Hallelujah. And you know, I'm developing a different philosophy of living. When I go to bed at night, I'm not quite so sure I'm going to wake up in the morning. It never used to bother me. You understand? It never used to bother me. I never even would think about it. But when I lay my head down, there was a nursery prayer that we used to sing, my mother taught me, now I lay me down to sleep. Huh? I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Isn't that right? Huh? And see, we come out of the same generation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm not so sure. What do you think when you lay? You think about it at night when you lay down in your head? I don't think so. Maybe you, some of you do. You're getting older. At least you got the white hair and everything. Huh? But I think about it. I think seriously about it. I think very seriously about it. And because I am aware of the things in my nature that are contrary to righteousness. I am aware of some of the things that I should be doing, but I'm not doing them. So what does it do? Does it motivate me? Yes, I think so. I hope so. I pray that it is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give me the strength to go. And when I wake up in the morning, I'm thinking, God, you've given me one more day. You've given me one more day, one more day, one more day, one more day. What can I do to fulfill the will of God?
Amen.
Concerning my life, concerning the place I'm in, concerning my surrounding and the people I'm involved. Are you giving me one more day? What am I going to do with it? What am I going to do with it? Am I going to get up and just fall back into the rut that I got out of? Am I going to walk down that rut as that rut leads me? Or am I going to break out of it? Am I going to break out of it? Break out of it! Break out of it! Break out of it! Hallelujah. Well, my hope is that by God's grace, I will break out of it. Hallelujah. Brethren, my life, I'm finding out how very fragile. You know, I used to be so confident, so assured, so much in sync with this never die philosophy. Huh? I didn't think it was never die philosophy. But I abused it for so many years. I abused it. I misused it. I made excuse. It made an excuse for me. Oh, you always have tomorrow, right? You always have tomorrow. You're making plans out there for months, weeks, years. Huh? Hallelujah. The Bible says, worry unto the day, for the evil is sufficient. Isn't that what it says? Or did I mess it up?
Sufficient unto the day is evil.
For the evil there, what?
Sufficient unto the day.
Sufficient. Hallelujah. Sufficient unto the day. I have to live one day at a time. Yeah. Hallelujah. One day at a time. Well, you know, some of you don't need to worry about that too much. You're kind of far away from that cutoff point. Hallelujah. So this woman was coming to the well. She came to the well for water. Are you coming to the well for water? Huh? Are you coming here today?
Amen. That's right.
Because you're thirsty?
Amen.
Are you coming here today because you want living water? Or do you want regular water? Or do you want living water? Hallelujah. Well, I'm telling you, if you want living water, the finger of God is going to touch you. It's going to touch you in a place that is going to hurt. It's going to touch you in a place that you're going to say, ouch! Or you're going to say, ah! It's going to touch you. Am I going to respond? Okay, then. And then draw back? Huh? Or am I going to be like the woman at the well? Hello? Jesus is saying to me today, he said, if you ask of me, I will give you living water. Living water. I don't want normal, placid, mundane, normal water. Hallelujah. But you know something? That water is going to cost me something. Huh? How would you like if a man came up to you and then began to tell you about all your hidden sins? All those hidden things in your heart. All those hidden things in your mind. If a man came up, what would you do? What would your response be? What would your action be? Huh? Would it be like the woman? Praise God. He says, give me of this water. She said, give me of this water. Give me of this water. You say, give. She didn't even have, she didn't know what she was asking for. But all of a sudden God says, thus and so and so and so and thus and thus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the woman was a Samaritan. She was a mixture of Jew and Gentile. And as a Jew and Gentile, she was an outcast. As far as the Jew was concerned. Huh? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There was something the Lord spoke to me. Maybe I'll share it later. I don't know. Concerning that. But brethren, we are standing on the threshold. And it's a threshold of decision. Yeah. Hallelujah. What do you want out of this time frame together? If you come just to hear another word, well, praise the Lord. Maybe that word will encourage you, strengthen you in some other way. But if you have come to the well for any other reason than that which was driving that woman to be at that well at that particular time to meet that particular word. Huh? Hallelujah. Then God has a promise for you and for me in the aspect of that ministration of that word. He began to touch her soul.
Yes.
He touched her soul and she responded. Response is necessary. Response is absolutely necessary. Hallelujah. And when the finger of God put it on her sin, my God, she didn't make excuses. She didn't stammer and stutter and try to justify it. She said, I perceive that thou art a prophet. See, that Samaritan had discernment to understand that the finger of God was now putting its finger upon her actions. And in the putting of that finger, there was a response. She responded. You have to respond. I have to respond. I have to respond. I have to respond. Not just here, but in as I go out that door. And all them devils that had to stop because they couldn't come in here. Line up at the door. And I go out and they come to put to jump on top of me. I have to have the tenacity and the determination in my mind to rebuke them.
Amen.
And to fight with them. Push them off. Hallelujah. And sometimes it's not an easy fight because your mind is telling you one thing and your emotions is telling you one thing and your flesh is telling you another thing. And God is speaking and the speaking of God is contrary to everything that is in that environment. push. I have to fight. Hallelujah. 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 You know, her response brought revival. You want revival? It's not in a sign that you put out there on the front of the church that says revival tonight. Huh? Hallelujah. It is the revival of God inside of you, inside of me. It's God raising up in the midst. You know, Brother Duziel had a vision. And in the vision, he saw the body of Christ. And when we talk about revival under the context of this word, that's what we are referring to. The raising up. That's what we were talking about this morning. That's what we were singing about. And he saw all of these demons, this body that was laying down on the ground, covered with demons. And they were going after it and going after it and going after it. And finally it come to the point that form of a man rose up and began to shake itself off. Yeah. Hallelujah. Shake itself off. Hallelujah. Shake itself off. And one of the admonitions of the prophet Isaiah, he says, right, he says, shake thyself from what? The dust. What is my dust? My humanity. My Adam. She responded in an appropriate manner. She responded in an appropriate way. And she went out and she began to say, come listen to this man. You want revival? You want evangelism? Huh? Hallelujah. Just get one convert like that. Just get one convert like that. One convert. One convert. One convert. Hallelujah. And in probably about 30 minutes, they had a church. The whole town came. I can guarantee you that town was never the same again. They were never the same again. I can guarantee you. They were never the same again. Hallelujah. We're just told a little bit of the story. I'd like to meet that woman someday. And someday I'm going to meet her. And I'm going to ask her. At least I hope I can remember to ask her. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask her what happened after he left. Amen. What went on after he left? And when, did the wave continue? And were people raising up in God? You know, some of those people might be those people in Hebrews 11. Yeah. Hallelujah. Were any of you in that group? Were any of you there in that place? And I don't know that I have to wait to get the answer. Hallelujah. It says of John, when he was inquiring of the Lord, he said, I saw a multitude. What were they doing? Singing and dancing and what? Praising the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We need a little of that energy here. We need a little of that energy here. We need a little of that energy here. Do you hear me? Hallelujah. When we start saying God's God, an army marching through the land, deliverance is their call, healing, we should be marching. Marching, 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 marching. Hallelujah. Not sitting in our chairs. I'm not going to march. And I don't mean you do it because you are told to do it. You do it because something's in your foot wanting to march. Something's in your hands that wants to swing. Hallelujah. You know, I was in the army, and one of the things that I really liked about the army, they had this, I don't remember what they called it. They had a cadre of soldiers. It was like an honor guard, but that's not what they called it. They had special clothes they wore, you know, special weapons. They were precision marchers. Huh? There were about maybe a dozen or more of them in a little group, and they would march, and they would do things with their rifles, you know. at the same time, with precision, everything moved. Nobody was out of sync. Nobody was out of, and I attempted one time to get into that. But unfortunately, my coordination is not what it should be. Hallelujah. But they were so precise. They were so, one man. There were maybe a dozen or more of them. One, but marching as one man. They would turn left. They would all turn. Now, nobody would be saying anything. There wouldn't be anybody, drill sergeant drilling them. They were moving as though they had one mind, one thought, one aspect, one voice in their ear, moving in precision. Yeah. Hallelujah. Why couldn't I do that? Why can't we do that as a body? If we are connected to the head, why can't we do that? Because we're disconnected.
Amen.
Huh? Hallelujah. You know what that disconnect is like? Oh, you know, I spent some time in Africa, and we have Skype and all that, but it never works very well. And I'll call somebody up, or they'll call me. Brother Jamal, he calls me, and I get maybe every three or four words. You ever had that experience? I blah blah blank 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 did blah blah blank blank okay. Huh? What did he do? And what's okay? Huh? That's how our communication is with God. That's how it is. Why? Because we are not putting him in the proper place of importance. We're not putting him in that place that is paramount to that experience and to the word that we have. I want to tell you something. God is not going to look at the Baptist as he's going to look at me. Did you hear me? God is not going to look at the Pentecostal as he looks at me. He's not going to do it, brethren. He's not going to look at me as he looks at the denominational structure out there. He's going to examine me by a different rule. He's going to measure me by a different tape. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If I tried to use a metric tape in building in inches and feet, what I built would not come up to the right perspectives of what it is I'm trying to build. I am going to be ruled by the measure of righteousness to the fullest extent. Because you see, if I want to be a son, I have to have a perfect offering. Not a contaminated, not a somewhat okay offering. It has to be perfect, 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 perfect. Yeah. Hallelujah. And that responsibility is upon me. No one else can do it for me. I may not like my circumstances, but I don't have to like them if I understand the reality of the necessity of having them. And then I respond in the correct manner. Oh my God. Do you know when somebody tells you something that you know is not right, and you know that you are right, and they're insisting that they are right, what do you do? What do you do? Pray. Irritated, aggravated. Now, what do you do?
Pray.
Well, that would be a good start. I'm not so sure that we do that. Maybe later when we repent because we did something that we shouldn't have done or said something that we shouldn't have said. Hello. Hallelujah. There's a necessity. There is a necessity. There is a necessity. Hallelujah. There is a necessity for us to respond in an appropriate manner. There is a necessity for us to understand the position of my jeopardy, my understanding of my jeopardy. You know that man that stood in the front of the Lord. When they came, we didn't have on the wedding garment. You remember that? That's me. Did you hear me? That's me. That's where I can wind up at the end of the day if I do not behave and do according to the word of God concerning my salvation. I have to work it out with fear and trembling. So that man out there with no garment on, that's me. That's me. God, I want to be dressed. I want to be dressed. And when tribulation arrives, am I being dressed? Am I being prepared? It says the bride went and what? Made herself ready. No magic wand there. Hallelujah. So if we have this pearl of great price, and it's buried within this field that is my Adamic Asbel nature. Oh boy. Let me begin to give it away. Let me begin to sell it off. Not that I can get profit. You know, the rich young ruler came to Jesus Christ. He says, what must I do? To inherit eternal life. What must I do? What must I do? He said, go and sell all that you have and give the proceeds to the church. No, he said, give it to the poor. Brethren, we stand at the threshold of time, and there is a big responsibility that God is putting on our plate. I trust and hope that we respond in the right manner and in the right way. God bless you.